That isn't the first time they played that together, by the way. They've been practicing. And you can tell much time put into that. And we are the beneficiaries of that. So thank you, Charlotte and Kiana. Appreciate that so much. Invite you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And by the way, I want to mention, part of the remodeling included two new sets of doors. We got a new set of doors on the east side, a new set of doors on the front. And that was part of the expense of the remodeling that had nothing to do with building classrooms, but we needed doors with panic bars on them. So now that we have them, we can lock them and keep anybody out that wants to come in, for example, and do us harm by locking them, yet you can still get out. So we're working on a plan. We're wanting to try to make sure we're secure, and there's no perfect security, of course, in any public building or setting like this. But I know John will, I think he locks the front doors once we get started. He locks the front doors. And you've locked the east door. So what we'll do, and I think we keep the west door unlocked and keep an eye on it. So if you go out the east door, let John know, and that way he can let you back in. Or if you go out, go around and come in the west door. But the ideal would have someone stationed at each door. But I don't know if that's feasible or not. But anyway, we're trying to keep the doors locked as much as we can. And by the way, if there would be someone come in like an active shooter, what do you do? Well, the simple thing to remember is run, hide, fight. The first thing you do, if someone come in and we start hearing gunshots, I hate to bring this up, but at least talk about it a little bit, and I've been meaning to. First thing you do is run. If you can run, run. For example, if you're sitting up here, you don't run to that door back there because your car's parked out there. You run out this door, or you get down on all fours and you crawl out that door if a person with a gun is in here. Think about, how would I get out of here? The best thing to do is run away. If you can run, run. You don't need to be a hero. Now, if you have a gun, and we know some of our people are concealed carry, then maybe that now's time to use that gun on the bad guy. And if you can't run, you say, I don't have anywhere I can go. Well, then hide. Run, then hide. And of course, the natural thing would be to get down. Get down. Don't stand up and gawk. Get down and trying to get behind something, in this case the pews or whatever. And if none of that works, then the third thing they recommend is fight. You go after. Like, let's say we got four people, four guys, they take the shooter down, they tackle him. May get shot in the process, but we can save a lot of lives. What the tendency is, we freeze. We don't know what to do, and we just are paralyzed with fear. But if we think through what I would do, that will help us. So that's a simple thing to remember that security people will teach. You always hear that, run, hide, fight. First thing, run. Second thing, if you can't run, hide. And the third thing is to fight back, trying to fight back. So anyway, let's turn to Acts chapter 3, I said. And I want to read verse 6. And then verse 15 and 16. This is the healing of the lame man. There's a man who is lame from his mother's womb in Acts 3:2. And verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Peter healed him. Then look at verse 15. And Peter uses the opportunity to then preach. The healing wasn't the main thing. The word of God was. It was a word that saves. Watching a man get healed never saved anyone, but responding to the word of God has saved everyone that is saved. And he killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, the power that healed this lame man is a power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and it's a power by which we are preaching the gospel, which you need to believe. Well, the Jewish leaders, they didn't like that. And notice chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake, Peter and John, and the disciples that were there, as they spake unto the people, the priests, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening. Howbeit, many of them which, what? Heard the word. They heard the word. Faith comes by hearing. And they believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000, not counting women and children. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, elders, scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had sent them, that is the disciples, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter's like, well, I'm so glad you asked. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. By the way, the very ones that had a hand in putting Jesus Christ to death were these people. And it had not been that long ago. This is a stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they, the leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they knew they were just fishermen. They probably still smelled like fish, right? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, we can preach on that, couldn't we? Do people take knowledge of you and me that we have been with Jesus? If we live our lives in such a way that we ought, I think that would happen, but we don't always. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What could they say? But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For then indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. They wanted to. They wanted to say, well, this lame man wasn't really healed, but they couldn't deny it. But then it spread no further among the people. Let's threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. By the way, we're gradually seeing our liberties to stand for the truth of God's word being taken away for fear of losing our rights, of having a lawsuit against us, being locked up. So be it. Look what Peter and John did. They're going to preach anyway. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Verse 21. So when they had threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, O Lord, thou art God. Now I want to jump to verse 29. They finished their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They're being threatened and imprisoned for preaching the word. And what do? God, give us more boldness that we might keep doing it. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They asked that, verse 29, help us to speak your word. And this verse, the last verse, they spoke the word with boldness. The word of God, the word of God. They were consumed with it, weren't they? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now as we open this blessed book by which we know the truth, by which we are saved, by which we grow into the very likeness of the one who saved us, who healed us of sin, who called us and keeps us by his grace. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege of being able to preach it, of hearing it preach, of taking heed to it, and of living it out in our daily lives. Help us, Lord. We are so needy. We are so frail. We are so weak. We are so sinful. And you are so gracious and loving and kind. And you have the power to change us and mold us into the very likeness of your Son. We know we, in our own strength, cannot walk worthy of you, but we're commanded to walk worthy. And so give us grace and strength to do that, and help us determine to honor you. Even as we're gathered here this morning, may we listen attentively to what you have for us. Help me, Lord, speak to my heart. Convict me where I need it, Lord. May I honor you with all of my heart. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love fires. I just love fires. They are fascinating to watch. I do not understand fire. I don't understand the beauty and the warmth of a roaring fire. How do those flames happen? The color, the beauty of the flame of a fire. To me, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle. You light a match and there it is. Or you rub sticks together and there it is. However you come about starting a fire, it is so amazing. I love a good fire with a roaring flame. It's a thing of beauty and of action and fervency. I love to have an open fire in our wood stove. And during this Christmas season with all our family there, we had a house full of, 14 of us, sometimes 18 of us or so. And we had that fire going the whole time. And we always had the stove open so we can see the flame. And it was just so, it's so cozy to sit around the fire. And I love the warmth of the heat that a wood fire puts out on a cold winter day. And in the summer and the fall, there's nothing better, well, there's not much better, than an open campfire on a beautiful evening to captivate and to mesmerize as we sit around the fire. It's so soothing and relaxing to sit and just enjoy staring at a good old campfire until one of the kids melts his shoes from getting their feet too close, or sets their sister's hair on fire from one of those wood sticks, limbs they've been poking in the fire. Our camp, we love to go camping. We used to go camping at Kannapolis, take our tent and camp out there, or go to Colorado in the mountains and take our tent and live in a tent for about a week. But it was always fun to have the campfire. But the kids couldn't stay away from burning those sticks and burning each other, having their feet melt, you know, and yell at them. But it was all fun. But fires are just amazing. They're a wondrous part of God's creative power. And the fire power of God is going to be on display in the final judgments. You realize that, don't you? When his wrath is poured out on this unbelieving world, when Christ comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, I believe. When his wrath is just poured out on this unbelieving world. Psalm 97:3, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies. The Bible even speaks about the elements of this universe melting with fervent heat. The fires of hell were put in place by God as an eternal judgment for the devil and his angels and for all that will join them in their unbelief and rebellion against God. So a fire can be good and a fire can be bad. A fire to warm us, whether from a wood stove or a gas furnace, is such a blessing. And how can we ever get through this globally warm winter without our heat, right? On the other hand, a nice cozy campfire that spreads to the surrounding trees and forests and burns thousands and thousands of acres and the homes therein, well, that's not such a blessing, is it? Well, as we read of the early church and these relatively young in the faith believers who believed the words of Christ and courageously and boldly preached his word in the midst of an unbelieving and hostile city, Jerusalem, we need to think about our fire, don't we? These men and women were like wood being consumed in a fire. They were consumed by Christ. Once they were ignited for Christ and his word, you could not extinguish that flame that came from their heart. This passage reminds us of a burning fire because they were on fire for God. That's the best way to put it. They were just on fire for God, like you need to be on fire for God. I need to be on fire for God. They were fervent, passionate, consumed by the love of Christ. And as a forest fire can hardly be quenched, so these men and women went forth like a fire. And nothing, not even the gates of hell, can prevail against them. And so it's true today. Christ's promise for them is good for us. The gates of hell cannot prevail against his church if we'll stand and go forth boldly for him. Again, chapter 4, verse 19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. In verse 29 again, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Boldness, fervency, the word, a fire in our hearts. And may God light a fire in our hearts that can never be put out, that nothing, no one can extinguish. There's no reason that same spirit cannot be the spirit that compels us to live for Jesus Christ and to love him and serve him with a boldness that would cause the world to wonder, what's with that guy? Or what is it with that gal? What happened? You know, we wonder about a lot of things. We wonder what's happening to our country. It's going down the tubes, isn't it? Well, so be it. But you're not going down the tubes. We can make a difference, right? Maybe not in this nation as a whole, but in one person's life. I can make a difference. I can be a light in one person's life. It's dark, it's cold, it's scary in this whole world, but there's light where you are. I can curse the darkness, or I can be a light and light the darkness. And that's what God would have us do. Give me a boldness. Our prayer and desire should be, God, give me a heart, a passion to serve you and to love you fervently. And give me a desire to please and honor you by the same boldness that these men and women had, that comes from knowing you and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what were they fired up about? What were they consumed with? The name of Jesus Christ. In his name they went. It was by his name this lame man was healed. It was in his name that God raised him from the dead. The truth of his word, the preaching of Christ, his death and his resurrection, the preaching and teaching of the way of salvation. That is, they were fired up about the Bible. They were fired up about the Word of God. It was only through the Word, the revelation, the communication of God, that men could hear the truth in order to be saved. See, Christ was real to them. He was alive to them. And they were compelled by this truth. And they couldn't help but tell everybody, even under the threat of persecution. What were they commanded not to do? What was it that so threatened the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders, ravenous wolves that they were? It was a preaching and teaching and the believing of the Word of God. That was their crime. They were guilty of that crime, of preaching the Word of God. Are you and I guilty of that? Would there be enough evidence to convict us, as the saying goes? We need to be fired up, don't we? This preacher needs to rekindle that flame. Ask God to rekindle that flame. I mean, you and I get fired up about a lot these days. We can get fired up politically. And I love talking politics, you know, and how good it is, how bad it is, what a mess it is, and all of that. We get fired up politically to where we think about rising up and throwing the bums out of office, right? And many of them should be thrown out of office. But then one just as mad replaces them, or worse. Politicians come and go. Policies come and go. Economics are up and down. Our freedoms may or may not continue. We can get fired up about, if you're into basketball, the Oklahoma Thunder, or the KU basketball team, or K-State, or the Kansas City Chiefs, or whatever, or a new iPad or an iPhone, but none of these are going to be around very long. They're all going to pass away. All of it. All of it. But we can be certain that God's Word, the Bible, will endure forever. And His Word, then, His Word is what you and I need to be passionate about. Just think about the things we're passionate about. Does that list include your Bible, God's Word? I'd like us to go to Jeremiah and see there a man who was burning with the Word of God. He was aflame in Jeremiah 20 with the Word of God. For more than 40 years, Jeremiah was faithful to preach God's judgment upon apostate Judah, enduring opposition and beatings and even prison. Now look in Jeremiah 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. What was he prophesying? That Judah was going to go into captivity over and over again. And the leaders were tired of hearing about it. And then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. And then Jeremiah said unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, or Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive unto Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. And he goes on, so on. Well, they didn't like hearing that. Notice Jeremiah in verse 7. Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. Thou hast prevailed. And I am in derision daily. Everybody mocks me. For since I spoke, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, a derision daily. Jeremiah was tired of getting beat up for preaching God's word. And so he said in verse 9, I will not make mention of him. I'll not speak any more in his name. But the word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I was weary with holding it in, and I could not stay. In other words, his word, New King James translates it, his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. I couldn't hold it back anymore. The word, I just had to preach the word. I had to preach about the judgment that was coming. Now, how convenient it would have been for this prophet to not make mention of God anymore, just to not say anything. Not say anything to cause himself such discomfort, such problems. And would anybody blame him? I mean, can you blame people today for not wanting to openly talk about how sinful it is to live the homosexual lifestyle or transgenderism or all that? It's getting where that's a hate crime. It's going to be, it's coming to where we're going to be threatened for talking about that. In fact, that's happening. I heard of a teacher, wasn't in Virginia, was fired for not using the right pronoun for, I think it was a boy who supposedly ignorantly thought he was a girl or something like that. I don't know, I'm getting that wrong. And so it's coming in, and we understand that, but. And Jeremiah was going through that. And he would have made lots of friends. They wouldn't have accepted him. He would have become one of the guys. And there's nothing wrong with fitting into our culture, with getting along with our people in our culture, and not stirring everybody up by being so bold. Or is it? Is there something wrong with that? It depends. If I'm compromising my faith, it's wrong to fit in the culture that well. See, nobody likes a religious Joe, a know-it-all. Just get along with everybody. That's a virtue that will put you in good stead. And it would have been convenient for Jeremiah to back off a little bit, to just enjoy this life a little more and experience a lot less trouble. And he was tempted to not speak anymore in his name. His flesh was weary. His thinking had become confused. And he was tired of being in prison, put in stocks, and of being beat up. His ankles and wrists were bleeding from all the sores caused by being put in stocks. But there was a flame. There was a burning in Jeremiah's heart. One like I don't believe I've ever known. Shame on me. But there was a burning, a flame in his heart that couldn't be put out and couldn't be doused with criticism and hatred and persecution. And he said he wouldn't mention him anymore, speak in his name. And he just couldn't take it anymore, at least that's what he thought. But he was so full of God, he didn't realize how hard it would be to shut up, to not speak anymore. You see, he not only knew God and knew his word, but he said his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with holding back, and I couldn't help myself. I just had to share it, had to share it. What would it feel like to have your bones catch fire? That's what it felt like for Jeremiah. His bones were on fire. It's God's word in your heart today. You can just make some application, right? I ask myself, is God's word in my heart like it was in his? And the apostles in the book of Acts, they were full of God. They were aflame for God. Do you begin to understand what Jeremiah was talking about? Is it like a burning fire? We have a hard time comprehending that, don't we? Some of us know nothing of what that's like. We can hardly make ourselves open the Bible on a regular basis. What is wrong with you spiritually this morning? What is wrong with you? Probably every one of us here would have to admit, something's not quite right. Something could be better in my life. For some, maybe it's a pretty serious spiritual problem. Why is it that you may just simply be going through the motions of religion this morning? Is it not in part because the Word of God has only affected our mind and it is not penetrating the heart? It's in the brain, I read it, I understand it, I may even study it, but isn't in my heart as a burning fire? Maybe you shut up your heart to the working of God's Holy Spirit. Your heart is filled instead with thoughts concerning this life and this life only. And our hearts just get filled up with the stuff of this life. And there is so much stuff to consume us. Why is it you're so critical of others? Why do you hold grudges and gripes and complaints? Why do you display such a critical spirit in your home towards your spouse, your children, maybe your parents, your siblings? Is it because his word is not a flaming fire? You're not consumed with the word. You're not full of God. You're full of self. Because God, you're not. If we're not filled with God, we're being filled up with me, self. Your heart is cold and lifeless. Why is there apathy and indifference towards the spiritual, towards the teaching of God's word? Why do you even come to church? Just to put in your time? I mean, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why am I here? Am I here because I want to hear the word of God? I want to learn more about God. Do you come and go simply to hear me talk or put my foot in my mouth, as I do on a regular basis, by the way? And if that's why you're here, things aren't right. Things aren't right. I need to examine myself. I need to, Lord, give me a desire. You ought to be here because you want to hear the teaching and preaching of the word, because you love the Lord with all your heart, and his word is in your heart like a fire, and you want to hear it. Are you here for the adult Bible study during the Sunday school hour, or the study for our young people? You know, God's given us some beautiful classrooms that are starting to be filled up. We need to fill them up with our children, don't we? We need to fill this place up because the word is being taught. And if I have a hunger for the word, I'll be here because this is my local church, okay? I encourage you, okay? Consider it. Come. The word is faithfully open and taught. The truth is presented on our young people's classes. I know my wife is... she teaches the junior age children, and she just loves her Sunday school lessons. They are excellent, and the young people are getting excellent teaching and getting grounded, and we can't have too much of that, I don't believe. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And what a great way to begin the new year is to be here. And it's not that much trouble. We can do it. But sometimes we think, well, I'm just not used to it. It's not my nature. Well, it can be your nature. It can be. I mean, I battle that. There's so many things I don't do because I've never done it, and I resist change. I don't like to change. I go kicking and screaming. You know, changing, remodeling and things. And just, you know, I have a hard time handling it all. I remember when we first moved in this building, I wanted to go back to our old building. I mean, that's how bad it was. You mean we're going to have to move everything? I'm comfortable where we were, you know. So I'm that way. But it's not my nature. Well, maybe it's not my nature because it's not my heart. And boy, when God gets a hold of my heart, then it becomes easy. It becomes a joy. If God's word is in my heart, I'm going to want to be here anticipating the blessing of hearing the word taught, singing praises. And I'll admit, I'm not always there. I'm the preacher, and I'll come for the wrong reason. I come, well, I got to go because I'm the preacher, and I got to work on a sermon because people are going to be there, and you know, what's that going to be like if I get up there and say, well, folks, I'm sorry, but I didn't get anything ready today. I didn't really feel like doing it, you know? And I go through that, and I battle that. And shame on me. It's because God's word doesn't have a hold of my heart. But, you know, if we're where we ought to be, we wouldn't want to miss any of God's word being spoken, whether Bible study time or preaching time or when. We wouldn't want to miss a note being sung in praise. That's why we want to get here early. Get here early, you know, before we start, so I'll be ready, right? We can do that. We can do that. And if God's word was burning in our heart, we wouldn't be battling having a quiet time, a God night time, a devotional time every day. And surely we get with God every day, read our Bible and pray. Surely we can do that if we're not. Memorizing scripture, that's why we want to memorize. I get God's word in my mind, and then I get it in my heart. And boy, I can memorize a whole chapter and it not get to my heart. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. I hope we get it in our heart. Jeremiah couldn't help but speak his word. His soul was just aflame for God. The apostles couldn't help but speak what they'd seen and heard. And you and I would get to where we couldn't imagine going a day without talking to the Lord or talking about the Lord with others. What more? If God's word is in my heart, I'm going to want more and more of the word. And when you find something wonderful, you want more of it. When my wife fixes a wonderful new recipe, I tell her, fix that again. Write good by that one, you know. We want more of that. We want more of that. And most of them are like that, okay? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Jeremiah 15:16 said this, thy words were found, and I didn't eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 42:1-2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. If God's word is in your heart, how can it be? Is God's word in your heart? Is it in your heart? And how can it be in your heart? How can it be if your heart is not in the word? God's word is in my heart if my heart is in the word. That's what I'm trying to say. His word is not as a flaming, burning fire, again, because I've allowed this world to fill my heart. All the busyness, the activities, the worries of this world fill my heart when it needs to be filled with the Word of God, right? I can't serve God and mammon. I can't serve two masters. A difference the Word will make. It would solve our marriage problems, getting the family together around the Bible every morning or every evening. Getting the family together to read the Bible and pray. Dad leading the way. That'll go a long way to take care of a lot of marriage problems and so on. If we would shut off the TV and the computer and turn off the phones and open our Bibles and our hearts to God, we might begin to see God do some amazing things in our life. He wants to use you, and He can. I can be like Peter and John and the Apostle Paul and Jeremiah. They were made out of the same stuff you and I are made out of. They had the same battles. They battled the flesh, but they were filled with a fire for God. How we need to be a fire for God. We need to have burning hearts for Jesus Christ, and we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24 tells the story of two men walking on the road to Emmaus. It says, Jesus drew near and went with them, but they knew it not. Their eyes were holden, their eyes were blinded. And He expounded unto them in the Scripture the things concerning Himself. He began to teach the Bible to them, the Old Testament, about how the Old Testament revealed Him, the Messiah. And they said in Luke 24:32, as a result, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Isn't that beautiful? Again, Luke 24:32. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us, while He walked with us? And that could be you and me. God, our hearts will burn within us. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a full surrendered way that by Thy power there may start a flame of fire within my heart. I'm done. I trust God is not done with any of us this morning. Let's pray. Our Lord, we just commit this time to You. We just are so inadequate, Lord. We feel so helpless, so worthless sometimes. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't even know where to turn. We try to turn to You. Sometimes we're so full of worry and self that we don't even know how to do it, Lord. Help us just to surrender, to fall before You, to cry out and just say, help me, God. Just help me. Help me to be what You want me to be, Lord. And it's hard. It seems like it's hard anyway. But Lord, You are our help. And to Paul, You said, my grace is sufficient for Thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And in our weakness, Lord, we just cry out to You. Help us to be on fire for You. Put a fire in our hearts, Lord, beginning today and carrying on through the new year. May our desire to be full of God, full of Your word, and a flame for You. We pray You'll help us. Help us respond, Lord, to You now this morning as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.